Good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to Health Essentials. It's good to be with you this day. Feels really good coming in at 72 degrees Fahrenheit. All right. You know as well as I do, there are some people that are so radiant and they are so healthy that they are just spectacular human specimens of health. But there are sick people out there. They have experienced their fair share of defeats. As a human being, things come up, things happen. It's not just the car that breaks down, or the washer, or the dryer. As long as you're alive, you're going to have to spend money on repairs for your home. The human body is not that way, but you can have your fair share of disappointments. Sometimes people that are very, very sick, they really just don't know what to do. They don't know which way to go. They have gone to several doctors, and they've taken all the drugs and the therapies that are drug-based that the doctor can throw at them, and they still have no results. But sometimes what a person really, really needs is just a little bit of encouragement to change the direction of their health. Often all a sick person really needs is just a little bit of coaching. Of course, I'm very biased in this department because I would prefer to coach them in an area that's going to lead to a productive change and have healing take place. Is it possible that God has designed the body to heal and repair itself given the right circumstances? Yes. Is it possible that you can heal from a disease? Yes. You know how many people have gone before you that have been exactly in your situation? They too have overcome. Sometimes a person just needs a different idea or a different presentation or a little bit different insight or a change of direction or a different strategy. And sometimes it can be just a little bit of energy in a different direction or a little bit of an adjustment to what they're doing. And all of a sudden, it can open up a whole new key to health and healing for them. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a God-given healing potential? Do you? Yes. You've got it already. It's already there inside of you. Maybe the question I want to ask you this morning, if you're not enjoying radiant health, or if you look at yourself in the mirror and you're honest with yourself, and I think that that's just the way it has to be. You have to be honest. If you're not honest, then you can minimize your health. You can ignore it. All these warning signs that you have that your body is telling you something's not right. Sure, you could ignore it, but that's not honest. No. So if you're going to be honest today, look at yourself in the mirror. I don't have a mirror in front of me. I have a control board that doesn't reflect anything. What is the one thing that I can act on today? It is possible. You've got to believe it's possible to heal. Do you think that healing begins physically, or does it begin first with thoughts, and then those thoughts lead to a different course of action? Well, yes. Healing begins in the heart. It begins in the spirit. You've got to believe. You've got to know that it's been done before. All right. I looked intently on a website called drugs.com 5 minutes ago. I searched a drug called Cipro, and this is just me giving you my take on this, so you can take it all with a grain of salt. But I looked up the drug called Cipro, and I wanted to find out, has anybody taken this drug and had severe, severe depression? I did not find that. It wasn't mentioned as even a rare or uncommon side effect, and I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. If I had to choose one class of drugs that I have absolutely seen the most wicked side effects of all time, the worst reactions, the greatest toxicity, the most admissions to the ER and checking them into intensive care or putting them there because they're passed out, Body swelling up, rashes all over, the worst suicidal thoughts of all time. It's got to be antibiotics. Well, there is a very famous journal called Neurology. I'm sure all the medical doctors love to read this. The year is 2014. I realize that's coming up on 3 years ago. The date is September the 30th. It is volume 83, or number 14. Anyway, pages 1,261 through 1,263. That's the article. I'm going to give you the short of it. Once, antibiotic use was simple. You just take a series of pills to clear up a bacterial infection, and bam, you're healed. It took a while for researchers to learn that this treatment also kills off the good, beneficial bacteria in the gut. I guarantee you chicken farmers know that. If you're raising chickens, how do you make them grow quickly? Well, you kill the good bacteria in their gut by putting antibiotics in their water or their feed. It kills the good microbes, and bad germs start growing in the body. And when they do, they give off a whole bunch of toxic waste that generates inflammation. And inflammation, in turn, generates higher levels of insulin. Does insulin cause the body to grow and gain weight? Yes, every single time. That's why quite often when someone first developed diabetes, you can look at them and tell that they're quite overweight. So how do you reverse diabetes? Well, you change the circumstances to cause inflammation and high insulin. So once people figured out that taking an antibiotic for a bacterial infection also killed off the good beneficial flora, or the microbiota, or microbiome, or friendly flora, or good bacteria in the gut, then some people who were on the cutting edge of reality, they decided they would go to the health food store and they would purchase probiotics after they consumed an antibiotic. And this seemed reasonable to them. Well, if I'm killing off the good bacteria, do I need to replace the good? Remember what it says in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm just using that as my stepping point or starting point. If you want to overcome toxic microbes in your gut or yeast or candida, what do? You overcome it with the good beneficial microbes that do you a favor. Well, the days of taking an antibiotic without side effects, those are officially over. The use of antibiotics has led to more and more resistant forms of bacteria. So the pharmaceutical industry has developed stronger and ever more risky drugs to combat them. A class of antibiotics called fluoroquinolones, that would be Cipro, cause serious direct effects, including, this is what the article in Neurology says, fatal heart arrhythmias. I want to ask you a question. Have you had any difficulty with your heart? You have any major heart symptoms? Well, just think of this right here. Is there any possibility or chance that maybe you had a dose of Cipro before your heart ever started acting up? Even if it was a year prior to that, I'm okay with that idea. Everybody else may not, but it doesn't bother me. The truth is the truth. Now, does anybody out there have a condition called peripheral neuropathy? You know, where you have continual burning and pain and numbness and tingling, and you can't get your legs comfortable and you're constantly shifting this way and that way. You can't get comfortable in bed because the pain is too great. Yeah. They're going on to say now that peripheral neuropathy is becoming increasingly common in people that don't have any apparent reason for it. So what they're saying is, okay, we understand you have peripheral neuropathy, but you don't technically have a diagnosis of diabetes, so we can't blame it on that. Uh-huh. So what are they finding out? So when somebody has these symptoms of feeling numbness and they often have a painful pins and needles feeling in the feet, the condition can actually lead to a loss of balance and difficulty walking. The article goes on to say that if you have an infection Do not take an antibiotic unless your doctor says you absolutely need one. And it goes on to say at the end of it, if he insists that you take one, do not take fluoroquinolone, which is always ends, or the generic name always ends in Floxacin, F-L-O-X-A-C-I-N, but that would be Cipro. The doctors of today that are on the cutting edge are actually using antibiotics that are more than 20 years old. They've been around a long time. Anyway, newer, more expensive is not always better, is it? Isn't that interesting? Taking Cipro is now linked with causing neuropathy. So ask yourself the question. You've got these unusual aches and pains in your feet. They drive you crazy. Maybe it's your lower legs. Have you had Cipro? Did a doctor prescribe that for you? Anyway, what I was really interested in, and let me give you the number of the station because I'm almost through here. And please call, ask any question that you like, especially ones that relate to improving health. Those are the funnest ones. 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question. But I wanted to find out if it can, listen, if this drug, if you're prescribed this drug and you're normally a very radiant, vibrant person, you're self-employed, you can take care of your business, you're very calm, you're assured. And if you've taken that drug and all of a sudden you can't work, makes me wonder. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Doc, am I interrupting you from finishing that part?
No, go ahead. No, I'd rather talk to you.
Just rejoice. It's today. And just wanted to kind of start off with something jovial for your listening audience. Two quick things. Have you heard that take on that woman? I think it's from something from like Texas Superfoods or something. This woman says, I have so much energy. I can't believe how much energy I have.
Yeah, but usually she's saying, what is wrong with me? I have so much energy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's pretty comical, isn't it?
I thought I'd heard you mention
that. Yeah, but
that
it gets your attention, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you want to bottle that up and put it in a barrel, I suppose.
Yeah, how about that for a radical idea, using natural substances to heal your body?
Right, and then I think a few weeks ago, Doc, I heard you mention a lady called in. I think she was trying to climb over a tennis, on the tennis court, over a net, fell, broke a bone in her wrist, not up in two or three places.
Yeah.
And our friend that we know that has a program called Nova Cause, Mr. Kaufman.
And that's who I was referring
to. Said that it was a fungus thing.
Yeah, and I heard Doug say that on the radio, actually.
Well, he would almost, you know, he could almost, and I'm not knocking Doug. He could almost think, Doctor, that you're a clone for fungus. Just you yourself or me, a being.
Well, I know it. Fungus is not the root cause of everything, but it can cause a lot of trouble if you have one.
Oh yeah, and a lot of times it can very. I understand can be. You want to have it carefully diagnosed because it can resemble some things of cancer. Some similarity.
I think my point was when a person jumps over to celebrate a tremendous tennis victory and they trip over the net and they break their wrist,
it ain't
fungus. You can't say, well, I think your real problem is there was fungus there. No, it was a traumatic injury to the wrist.
Well, listen, my friend, I just wanted to start you off with those little funds, and I'm listening to you, and I'll let you bless the rest
of
these.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your phone call.
You got it, Doc. Have a fine weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Alrighty, if you want to join me on the air, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, the phone line is officially open. That's 903-586-5257. And we'll go to the phone lines. Hey, thanks a bunch for calling. You're with me on the air.
Yes, Dr. Morgan, I wanted to call and thank you. A few months back, I had called and left a message on your answering machine just because of the nature of my problem, and it was a urinary tract issue. I was told it was prostatitis and all sorts of different stuff, and they gave me Cipro, and then they gave me something a lot stouter. I can't even remember the name of it. I dropped all of the antibiotics. I dropped the lisinopril they were giving me for high blood pressure for years. My blood pressure was literally like 280 over 160. I dropped Motrin. I had gone from pre-diabetic apparently to diabetic. And I started using some things you had mentioned, and I also started Googling homeopathic remedies for, and then name the malady and try to make the best choice. My blood pressure is in the normal range. I retain some lisinopril in case it ever goes over like 140, you know, my top number and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm down in the normal range for the vast bulk of the time, which I've not experienced in decades of taking prescription meds. I don't think I'm diabetic, but I do have occasional little pains in the bottom of my foot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a clue, isn't it?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you is there anything I can do for that? But also, and this is the wonderful thing, they were going to cut me from stem to stern. I won't go in any greater detail than that.
Oh, boy, that would make me look for any alternative to that.
Yeah, and I found this stuff. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of it. I don't have it in front of me, but it's like thioamicum something or other and two other words that start with a C. I could look them up and call you back with them someday if you'd like. But I have gotten rid of accumulated cystitis, I suppose, but I have had scar tissue, and I knew that, from a variety of catheters, and they had pierced the urethra.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, it started when I had back surgery at 14. I've never gone to a hospital or an MD without having more problems than I started off with, it seems.
It's a pretty powerful testimony, isn't it?
Well, the powerful testimony is the Bible says something along the line. I know you're familiar with this, but and this isn't verbatim. I hate to misquote the Bible, but it's God provided for us in nature. Mm-hmm. The medicines we would need. And homeopathy, you look at it and you almost want to discredit it because they're like, oh, well, there's no science there. This is just old folk medicine. Well, it's old folk medicine that works.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit back and I think of how people like Ben Franklin, back when they didn't have
modern
anything
drugs,
well, hygiene, you know, sewers and such. And he's out there swimming in the Potomac every day or whatever, and he lives to be 83 or whatever. And I just...
You mean he passed away? I thought he was still around.
He may be. He was a pretty smart cat. But I just want to thank you. I know you have a passion for this, and I'm getting as beaten up with it as anybody now. I'm trying to... I just can't pronounce any of it. My gosh, those are some tough names they've got for the homeopathy.
They are.
Homeopathic medicine. But it has worked like a charm. I'm going to go back into another round. I wanted to sit back for a while and assess, and I can tell that that's exactly what made the difference.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story as soon as you get off the air, and it's my it's a homeopathic story.
Okay, but that, and also if you can tell me, is there anything I can do to reverse or stall the neuropathy in my feet? And
Oh yeah, I'll cover that.
Just God bless you, and thank you so much. You took a lot of time on that topic, and I just appreciate everything you did, sir.
All right, good deal.
You take care.
Thank you for your compliment. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, let me tell you a story, then we'll cover neuropathy. Number one, and please don't overthink this. It's just my observation. I can't explain it anyway. Had this little German miniature schnauzer named Heidi. Black, black, black. Feisty, territorial, protective, vicious. Anyway, she was a great dog. She shows up at the back door with her head swollen the size of a cantaloupe. Really not that big, but you know, for a miniature schnauzer, it was just a swollen head. Couldn't even see her eyes. I thought, oh my word, what happened to you? And of course, you know that there's copperheads everywhere in East Texas, and there's spiders and probably bees and anything that would have poisonous venom. and I had just purchased a homeopathic kit, and just a fluke, I was reading through the manual because I wasn't familiar with it, and that's just one of the ways you learn. I looked up the homeopathic remedy called Letum, and it was for poisonous, venomous bites and stings. So let's just don't overthink it. The remedy for poisonous stings would be the homeopathic remedy Letum. I think it was, anyway. If I'm wrong, forgive me. We'll correct it. So, you know, Heidi, I put some of these pellets or tablets in her mouth, and within 5 minutes, her head shrunk back down to normal size. Now, I have not seen that before. I have not seen that after. But I'm telling you, I was a believer at that point that all of a sudden, maybe there is a natural medicine that could be an antidote for some of the emergencies we come. So, I mean, it's a dog. I love dogs. But, you know, sometimes you can't get to the vet as quickly as you want. So what harm did it cause by giving her a homeopathic remedy? Anyway, let's go on to neuropathy. Oh, my word, this is a deep topic. I know full well I'm not going to be able to cover all of it. I'm just telling you in advance. So let's just say this way. You've got pain, tingling, burning, discomfort in your feet or your legs that just doesn't go away and it drives you crazy. All right. There is a therapy where you submerge your leg in ice-cold water. Your foot thinks it's going to freeze to death, so it releases heat shock proteins. Your circulation vastly improves. That's why when you pull your foot out of the water, ice-cold water, it's beet red. That's blood. And your body's able to overcome a tremendous deficit. But there's a whole bunch of stuff with this. There's not great blood flow. You're not getting a great amount of oxygen. Almost always you have a buildup of water called AGEs, and that's just an acronym for advanced glycation end products, and that's part and parcel to too many carbohydrates. I'm not saying carbohydrates are bad, but there's a huge difference between the carbohydrates that you get from an avocado or from broccoli, asparagus, or green beans, or a salad, and then the kind that you get from mega doses of hybridized, genetically modified grains and high fructose corn syrup. Two different animals. I didn't say carbohydrates are bad, but in excess, oh, they can really wreak havoc in some people. That's what I was getting to earlier. You might just need a little bit different perspective toward healing. A little bit different information. Did you know that people that routinely walk barefooted, they have twice as many arteries and veins and nerves in their feet? That might be food for thought. I just really couldn't push that button very easily today. Sorry about that. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Caleb.
Hi, Caleb. How are you?
Doing good this morning.
Caleb, I want you to know I appreciate you very much because you and Joshua were the only spies that believed the word of God. Everybody else didn't. I don't even remember the other guys' names, but I remember Joshua and Caleb. Go ahead.
Good. Well, I'm kind of glad you took the call this way. I'm wanting to move to Alaska, and I heard the Pasadena Kid, I believe, call in yesterday, and he was looking for somebody to go up there, mm-hmm. And I was hoping to maybe get in contact with this guy.
Well, if the Pasadena Kid is listening, then he's going to have to call in and give us some way to for you to contact him, because I don't have his number.
Okay. I could give my email address on air.
Now, you weren't trying to call because of these large, extra large gold nuggets. He knows where the location is, are you?
I'm wanting to spy out the land.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like your little segue there. That could work. Now, you realize I'm like a broker here.
So I need
a 10% commission on all nuggets.
I will definitely come and give you the good news.
This means you're one fearless dude, right?
Well, with God, all things are possible.
So you're willing to brave frigid waters, not quite freezing, 10 to 15 foot of water, which is what he said, and a sluice box with a big, you know, suction on the end of it. What do they call those vac? Is that a shop vac they have on those boats?
It's a big one.
A big shop vac. Well, I tell you what, if the passing the kid, he's an auctioneer. Is his name Orban? I think it's Orban. Does that ring a bell?
No.
That's what I thought of. I think his name is Orban, first name. I don't know what the last name is, but I'm sure he's listening. He's probably laughing right now, but we'll try to find some way to get him in contact.
Okay, well, I am packed. We are planning to move to Alaska in the first place, and that there's no pictures on the walls, and we're ready to go. So,
man, this is go time, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, I have to ask you a personal question. Do you actually own one of those green plastic gold pans where you can, like, slosh the water around to look for gold?
No, I don't. I'm a water safety instructor. I've taught swimming lessons, and I figure I can get myself down to the bottom somehow, some way. So.
Well, all we need is just, like, a couple of bags of concrete tied to your waist. What could go wrong?
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm sure they sell all that gold mining equipment in Alaska anyway, don't they?
Yep. You know, something I had my cousins do when I was a kid is we would get a 50-gallon barrel, and somebody would stand on top and shove a pocket of air down on top of us, down to the bottom of a pool. And, you know, you'd hang out there till you got tired of it, then everybody would hop off, and then you'd float back up again. So
now, you're not recommending this for all the little kids out there, are you?
No, I thought we should put a disclaimer with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so, yeah. I can quickly use my imagination to figure out how that could maybe go badly.
I've listened to your show a couple of times. My mom loves calling in and asking questions. So.
Oh, your mom does? Okay.
Yeah, I definitely get something out of it other than tips on gold mining. So.
Well, yeah, that's the whole basis of my program, successful gold mining.
Right.
Well, hey, I wish you the best. I hope you have a great time in Alaska. You're going to eat some really great, high quality food there, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Are you a hunter by chance?
Yes. I'm really proud of my 13-year-old daughter. She shot her first deer this past year, and I got somebody else helping put food on the table.
I bet it was delicious, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, you Godspeed, and I wish you the very best, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right. Orban, don't know how we're going to get you together with Kayla, but maybe we can find a way. All righty. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I wanted to ask you about a problem I'm having with my mouth. I was using apple cider vinegar, and I didn't realize how damaging it could be. So I used it straight.
Wow.
I was trying to clean my teeth and kill bacteria.
Which is not what you want to do. You know that now, but right?
Yes, sir. So my tongue, it has deep cracks in it now.
Yeah.
And also I'm more concerned about the my teeth as far as.
Well, the first thing is just really obvious. Just don't do that again. And number two, there is a type of a toothpaste, and I think the company is called Designs for Health. But if I'm wrong, I mean, you'll figure it out. I'm almost positive that the toothpaste is called periobiotic. You know how, like, if you would go to a periodontist, or you've heard of periodontal disease, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, the toothpaste is called periobiotic. I think that's spelled periobiotic. I'm just trying to phonically. Periobiotic. But it's a very interesting toothpaste. It's not going to foam up and bubble. Mm-hmm. I realize when kids say bad words, we just probably need to skip the toothpaste and go to a bar of lava soap and really scrub that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not with you. But the periobiotic, if I'm not mistaken, the story is very, very interesting. A dentist spent I think, 7 years and quite a bit of his own money trying to determine which types of living microbes or bacteria he could get into a toothpaste. And so every time you brush your teeth with this periobiotic, you're reintroducing. And so, I'm sorry, two concepts here. You got germs, and we got to kill them. We got to kill them with everything we've got. Or the other concept is, don't even bother killing them. Just put beneficial bacteria and let the good microbes push out the bad.
Okay.
And that's probably God's great design, if you ask me. This whole business of trying to kill everything and kill cancer cells and kill this and kill that, it ain't working. I wish that medical philosophy would work, but it doesn't. But if you start brushing your teeth with a periobiotic, what it will do is it'll completely change the pH of your mouth. It'll change the flora. You'll probably tell me when you run your tongue over your teeth, you'll say, you know what, that feels like I just went to the dentist and had a good thorough cleaning. I like that. It's very interesting. But it doesn't really foam up, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like soap. Like, you know how toothpaste, you can just get that white foamy stuff everywhere?
Right.
That probably only happens to people that are highly intelligent, like you. But if you look up that one toothpaste periobiotic, let's see if we can't start the process of repairing. The other thing that I would say is I think I could probably build a case. If a person's had damage to their teeth, maybe they could get some benefit or gain benefit from things like coenzyme Q10 or maybe vitamin C.
Okay.
So
what about the enamel?
What do you mean? What about the enamel?
Well, I've read that, you know, it could damage the acid and the apple cider vinegar damages enamel.
Yes, and you're right. That's the first thing I thought of when you told me your story. So all I can tell you is you can't regrow enamel, but you can regrow dentin. That's one of the reasons why if you change the pH or the type of microbes that colonize every square inch of your tooth, then you can have some healing take place. That's why I told you about the periobiotic. I just didn't say it in a real intelligent manner to convince you that.
And what about my tongue as far as the cracks, or is that from...
Well, and every square inch of your tongue is supposed to... the tongue is very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. Do you know that James says the tongue is pretty powerful? Anyway, getting off it. That's what I want you to do. My plot is for you to use the way I'm trying to trick you into getting well. Actually, it's not a trick if I tell you, is it? But if you use the periobiotic several times a day for about a week, tell me if some of those fissures start to go away. But if it were me, I would use what's called a tongue scraper. I would scrape all that gunk off my tongue, and then I would start brushing my tongue with the periobiotic. You could also, you know what would be very easy? It'd be easy for you to start the technique called oil pulling. Swish it around your mouth, spit it out. I'm a huge fan of aloe vera juice. Pat Mitchell gave us an aloe vera plant, and I guarantee you if the kids ever get a burn, they just run right to the plant, snap a little twig off, and squeeze the... Well, it doesn't take much to get the fresh expression of slimy juice on their boo-boo. But yeah, I want you to use a periobiotic.
Okay.
What else can I help you with?
That's all for today. I was just concerned about that.
Well, and you know, sometimes we're just left with a situation where we can't go backwards in time with a time machine and say, you know what, I'm going to go back in time and I'm not going to use the apple cider vinegar because it's so acidic, it can just dissolve the enamel, it can. Mm-hmm. And it's like anything else. Some people are born with perfect teeth genetics.
Well, I do have good teeth. I don't think that much damage was done, but, my mouth is sore.
Well, how long ago did you do this?
It's been about a month or so.
But your mouth is still sore?
Well, my tongue is.
Well, I would probably consider using the mineral zinc.
Okay.
And so let me know if all the soreness of your tongue begins to diminish and go away and you feel like you have a good resolution and healing take place. That would be a whole lot of fun.
Okay. I will let you know.
All right. Good deal. All well, right. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
There is a phone line, once again, open. If you want to call and ask a question, it's all yours right now. 903-586-5257. You can talk to me and we can discuss your health. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
You got to turn the radio off. Hello. You're just turn the radio off.
I forgot about that.
Well, you just remembered. Thanks. If only you could only you could hear what I hear.
Sorry about your ears.
sound like I was in a 55-gallon drum in the bottom of a swimming pool with a kid sitting on top of it yelling and screaming. Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm as brave as that fellow that's wanting to move to Alaska. Texas is much better.
Well, you know what? He probably has a reason to go that will benefit him and his family, right?
Must have. I'm telling you. It's like people that want to go to Europe now without a president who wants to protect them.
Are you saying that's a problem? I am about to move to Iran as we speak.
Uh-oh.
No, go ahead. That's not Europe. Sorry.
That's far enough for me, though. I have a little joke. I ran in Iraq, and I wrecked in Iran. I played pool. That's well, as close as I'm going to get is with a joke.
That's right. Well, how can I help you?
It's Mr. Stevenson in Longview. Been a while since I've been down to see you.
Oh, yeah. Well, how are you, Mr. Stevens?
I'm doing pretty good. I was thinking about going to a place called Diabetic Renewal Center in Tyler. They've come up with a way to treat diabetes.
And what is that? And what is that way?
They actually put an IV in your hand and send what's that stuff you treat diabetes with into your veins?
It's called insulin.
Insulin, yeah. They send insulin in, treat your liver. And they say it reverses the effects of diabetes.
Yeah, and you know
you
what?
You can go to weknowdiabetes.com and find testimonies of people that have done it.
Have you seen any long-term testimonies?
No, sir.
Have you talked to anybody that's done it?
I'm old school, but I don't have a computer.
Right, no, I understand. But I've talked to several people that have done it, so I probably have a different perspective. And do you know what the hormone insulin does exactly?
No, that's why I wanted to talk to you about getting it put in my body if it would cause me to have it from now on.
Well, let me give you a brief rundown. I realize what I'm going to tell you is probably going to be different than what they're going to tell you, but you know, and you could actually say, well, this is just Dr. Morgan's opinion. I'll take it with a grain of salt. That's fine by me, but at least you've been given a different take on the issue. But I'd say, number one, insulin can actually be a wonderful, wonderful hormone because it's almost like the key that unlocks the door to all your cells. So when insulin goes up to your cell wall, it's almost like fitting a key in the slot and opening the door, saying, all right, now we have opened the door. Now we can take sugar and protein from the bloodstream, and we can put it in the cells, and the cells can actually use this sugar as energy. But here's what I'm thinking of, though. Remember when you and I were kids on the playground, we used to have teeter-totters or seesaws?
Uh-huh.
Well, at my playground, when I was in elementary school at Joe Lawrence in Mesquite, Texas, there was Bart Bolware, who was a bully. Anyway, but him and another guy, usually if they found me on the seesaw, they'd jump on one end and throw all their weight and try to buck me off like I'm about to go flying through the air like a catapult. Anyway, Anyway, that was great, great, great fun. Didn't matter. I don't remember a teacher ever coming to my aid.
Yeah.
It's called survival of the fittest, isn't it? But anyway, at one
I
end
remember
of
the good old days, too, Doc.
Oh, you still do you?
Yeah.
But on one end of the seesaw, we have a hormone called insulin.
Uh-huh.
And I am not saying that insulin's not important. It is. But there's disease is always the same thing. There's either too much of something or too little. So what would happen if we gave you way too much water to drink over the next 5 minutes? If you drank 5 gallons of water in 5 minutes, what's going to happen? You're going to die because it waters down all your electrolytes and your heart will stop. Well, what happens over the next 20 days if you don't drink any water or liquids? You're going to die from dehydration. So it's either too much or too little.
Mm-hmm.
At the other end of the seesaw, though, we have a very important hormone that I like to talk about. It's called human growth hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I checked, human growth hormone, it repairs any damaged tissues that need to be repaired. It's almost like it's the fountain of youth. And so what's going to happen if you go to this diabetes renewal center? They tell you that their program is not about diet and exercise, which that makes me very suspicious because you just don't even, I mean, what would happen to you if you were just very sedentary for the next 2 weeks? It'd be a catastrophic failure, wouldn't it?
Well,
don't you get up in the morning and say, hey, Ed, you got to keep moving. Don't stop. Keep moving. Yeah, you can go do that, but over time, all that excess insulin is going to severely depress your growth hormone, so you're going to momentarily get a tremendous stimulatory effect. I'm looking for long-term, like what happens 2 years later? Does a person actually have a lot more energy, or is it starting to backfire? I'm just listening to a person in my mind talk right now. Mm-hmm. Well, they keep giving it to me, but I'm just not seeing the benefits like I did at first. Mm-hmm. Or like if a person goes to a low T center and they say, you know what, you've got low testosterone. We're going to give you a testosterone shot or we're going to give you an implant. But everybody that I've ever talked to says the same story every single time. They say, Dr. Morgan, after a while, the testosterone implants, they just no longer work. And I'm thinking to myself, that's because they're not really addressing the real root cause of the problem. They're just kind of covering it up with a powerful drug. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can do anything that you wish, but I think you need to avail yourself to asking when you go there to talk to them, say, do you have any people that have done this for a couple of years that I can actually talk to? And just find out if they're, I mean, when you go visit these people, just remember they're usually in wheelchairs, so you want to move slow, not to startle them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I see it as being... There was an article that I read not that long ago that showed, here's what they asked. They said, does giving insulin to people for diabetes, can that cause problems? And oh my goodness, yes. And they showed some people in this particular study, they actually did better long term if they did nothing as opposed to taking insulin. Now, I realize that's a radical take, and there's probably a lot of people just blowing their top over that idea, but what I would do with you... Just like when I recommend you to try a ketogenic diet, I don't know that we ever got together to find out what happened with that.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with it?
Well, I hadn't really got it into that.
Yeah. Well,
a friend has the book, but he hasn't never done it either.
So all right, well, that answers that question.
Both of us are remiss.
Well, and, you know, sometimes you just need extra information, but... I think if you went there, do you have a smartphone at all?
No, I'm old school. I just use a simple flip.
Okay, well, I don't blame you at all. But all I was referring to is sometimes people don't have access to the internet or a computer, but they might just get a cheap smartphone that connects them to the internet. That way, they could type in what are the benefits versus the risk of insulin. But anyway, yeah, that's. Yeah, and I can get him
to do that now.
Yeah. Well, let me know what you find out, but I'm just going to tell you, I would probably explore any and every option, even if it means discipline myself to reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
Because with knowledge, you can take a different course of action.
Yeah. For a while, I was eating mostly, I'd buy frozen vegetables, organic vegetables, and put all different kinds in one pot, and buying the organic beef, and just eating that. I've kind of gotten to where I don't do that as much, but I haven't never had trouble with the neuropathy in your feet where you have the pain shoots.
Yeah, that's because you keep moving, right?
Right. I mow yards for a living, so.
Well, that's a benefit, isn't it?
I believe it is. When I first started, I lost from 250 to about 200. I got to where I could barely put one foot in front of the other going down the yard, but I kept going anyway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But anyway, I'd like to come see you again, so when you get a chance, you can call and...
Well, if you will, call my office and leave your phone number. That'll be the easiest way for me to keep tabs on that.
Okay.
I don't even have a sheet of paper here this morning I'd write down. But
thank you. That's okay.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
All righty, well.
Appreciate you.
I listen to your program every time I get a chance. So, I appreciate you helping so many people out.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to be of help if I can. So thank you very much.
All righty, well. You're worth the money.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
All
okay,
right.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
If you want to get ahead with your health, you've got to stay focused. And sometimes you got to know what you need to focus on. Otherwise, I'm trying to think, what is the old phrase I've heard before? You have to totally stand up for what you believe in or you'll fall for anything. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yes, thank you for your call, ma'am.
Yesterday, you're welcome. I appreciate you and all that you do to help people.
So
I really do.
You're so kind.
And, well, yesterday, my girls and husband and I went to the little Tyler State Park out there to the lake. And,
oh, how fun.
Yes, well, I noticed... So I have two things. One, my daughter, she came home with a terrible headache, and I thought, well, maybe she's dehydrated, so I made her drink a lot of water. Anyway,
no, that's a good idea. Yeah,
It lasted for several hours, and I wound up giving her some ibuprofen, children's ibuprofen, which I didn't want to do, but I didn't know what else to do because she, even after she had it for probably 45 minutes. She just kept crying that her head was hurting so badly.
Oh, dear. How old is she?
11.
Well, that's terrible. Did she get sunburned at all by chance?
No, we used sunscreen, and she didn't have any problems out there with that. And, you know, she didn't complain about it until later in the evening. So we've been back probably 4 or 5 hours.
So it really didn't hit till about 4 or 5 hours after the fact?
Yes. Maybe 3 or 4, but it was a while after, yeah, it hit.
Did her younger sister throw an extra large pine cone and hit her in the head? Because, I mean,
well,
that could have done it.
I could have, but no, that didn't happen either. So, I don't know. I tried to just give her some... so I gave her that, and she does have some allergies and such, so I gave her some Benadryl as well, children's Benadryl.
Clear it all up?
No, nothing helped except for going to sleep.
Okay.
So.
Has she awoken with pain yet, or is she still asleep?
I think she might be awake, but she hasn't complained.
So you don't really know if she still has the same headache or not from just questioning. Okay, yeah. Well, how would you like me to help you?
Well, what do you think? I mean, besides giving her Benadryl and ibuprofen, which I don't think are either very good.
I'm going to tell you what I would do. Of course, I'm a little bit of a radical individual, but she's 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There is a homeopathic remedy called Arnica Montana.
Arnica Montana.
Yes, ma'am. I don't care if at 11, I don't care if you give her an adult dose, but if she had a bad headache, I would probably do two or three different things. Now, some of these may sound a little bit weird, so just... Well, you know what? I should have asked you, where on her head does she say it hurts? Is it just above the eyebrows? Is it the whole head? Is it the base of the skull? Is it the temple area, the face?
She would hold her hand. She would hold her hand above her eyebrows. So
okay.
I'm thinking maybe that was it.
You know, and that is the universal position or the universal place that people put their hands when they feel stressed.
Now, okay.
Is there any chance that she had any horrible stress yesterday?
Did a
pack of wolves chase her? Because I've heard that there's a lot of wild animals up there in the Tyler State Park.
Well, it did happen. After we came home, we had dinner, and she was supposed to help clean up from dinner.
So, I think I'm starting to have a headache all of a sudden, if it means I get near.
But I don't really think that was it, because she had said before she wasn't feeling, you know, she was having some.
You know, a lot of people just rub peppermint oil, the essential oil of peppermint, over their forehead for a bad headache, and I would definitely be all down with that action. Sometimes, though, I will take just a drop or two of fresh lemon juice and rub it into each nostril. I didn't say that's going to feel like $1 million.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I'd love to see your 11-year-old daughter snort a drop of lemon juice into her nose. But if yeah. you will, I'm joking. That may not go real well. She'll say, "Mom, I don't know what you think you're doing, but you will not call Dr. Morgan in the morning ever again, because he's always got something weird that he wants me." But you could easily give her a squeeze the juice of a lemon or several lemons throughout the day in water and have her sip on that, just to help her blood kind of purify and cleanse. And maybe a lime would work also. So you can try those. If she's a very ticklish girl that craves chocolate, I would say she's probably got a magnesium deficiency.
Well, she is not a big chocolate fan, but she is ticklish. So.
Well, I always think one or the other, maybe both. But when a girl's really ticklish, I think she just might have a little bit higher need for magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
And magnesium actually plays a role in getting a lot more oxygen to the brain, so... If a person's system gets stressed, usually it's right over the forehead. But that could also be the allergy area.
Mm-hmm.
But the lemon juice, that may actually turn all that around very, very quickly. I've seen it work a number of times.
She loves lemon stuff. Anything lemon. She's drawn to that. So maybe that would...
You mean I'm not the only weirdo out there that likes anything with lemon?
No, I don't think so.
See, I'm not even thinking right now about eating cookies or any dessert. But I'm telling you, if I went home and I saw something that was based on lemon, I might go, I can't resist you. Come here.
Yeah, that's
I love lemon.
Well, okay, thank you. Well, there was one other thing. I noticed my arms are... They're changing color, you might say. I used to be able to get a tan really easily,
well,
but now
that's the pituitary right there.
Pituitary, okay.
Yes, and you have all these very unique cells under your skin, and what they do is they generate pigment.
Yes.
And so under normal circumstances, you have skin that looks like Sophia Loren's. It's that olive skin from being tan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the skin and you see any white spotting or a lack of pigment, or you don't tan easily, then your pituitary, let me think, what hormones does the pituitary produce besides growth hormone? Let me think for a second. Oh, yeah, ones that control skin pigmentation. But I'm just joking. I mean, the pituitary is going to release luteinizing hormone and follicular stimulating hormone. Doesn't that control and regulate a woman's menstrual cycle? Yes. It tells the thyroid to do, because it produces what's called TSH. It produces other hormones that regulate immune activity and hormone health of men. But in a roundabout way, your pituitary releases the one hormone to tell your skin to become tan. So I'm just giving you an idea. I'm not saying I know what the issue is, but if you don't tan easily, I would say that maybe your pituitary is either underperforming, or maybe... there's something that it's lacking, that if it had it, it might could do a better job. Have you ever heard of the mineral called manganese?
Manganese, yes, I have.
Do you like to put black pepper on your food?
I do.
Well, black pepper contains a generous amount of manganese. There are other water-soluble vitamins known as B vitamins.
Yes.
I am convinced that I have seen tremendous improvement in the ability to tan just with natural B vitamins. So somebody might call that quackery. I don't really worry about stuff like that. It's just natural water-soluble B vitamins. Although, yes. I'm going to hang out when I leave here in a little bit. I'm going to go to the ER here in Jacksonville at ETMC. And then I may go down to Christus Mother Francis, and I'm just going to observe people. And while they're having their emergencies, I'm going to say, "Sir, ma'am, could I do a survey? Did you just take a B vitamin?" You know, they're probably not going to say that.
Right.
Nobody. Right. Anyway, but B vitamins can play a role. There's one called para-aminobenzoic acid. You ever heard of that?
No, I don't remember.
Well, anyway, it's one of the natural B vitamins that our Heavenly Father has made by His own brilliant creation. I am not capable of making B vitamins in my creation. So, B vitamins, your fortunes might turn for the better.
Well, tell me that one again, the natural one.
Well, the natural ones, all you got to do is look at the label. If you go to the store, like Walmart, Kmart. Is there a Kmart around here?
I don't think so.
There used to be, though, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Isn't that where the Hobby Lobby is now?
Oh, is it? I didn't live here then. I was thinking maybe it was
that was 30 years ago, ma'am. You're supposed to know these things. You're probably, what, about 32 years of age?
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, I'm just judging based on your voice. It sounds like you are. But if you went to a store and you looked at the label, it says para-aminobenzoic acid. Most likely, it's just synthetically created by a laboratory, chemist or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get natural B vitamins, usually it'll tell you it's from I hope this doesn't gross you out, but calf liver, stomach parts from an animal, things like that. That's usually what the source is going to be.
Okay. Will it stay natural or not?
It just depends on whatever the manufacturer. But if it just says, if it says pyridoxin HCl, that's synthetic B6 right there. But if it says B6 is derived from calf liver and broccoli, then, if it tells you what the source is, just like if you get some folate and it says it's derived from spinach or broccoli, well, it's natural.
Okay.
So that's kind of what you're looking for.
Okay. Thank you.
And you're welcome. I hope your little girl gets to feeling better.
Yes, I do too. I'm sure she's...
I may have to force her to eat cantaloupe and watermelon today with lots of lemon water just to flush her out.
Yeah.
And then to really get all that toxins out, we need to have her do yard work like pulling weeds and lawn mowing.
Great idea.
And then when she's through with that, she needs to wash and wax and vacuum the car.
Just to sweat
and let those toxins pour out of her.
Okay. I will tell her.
Hey, tell her I said so. Doctor's orders.
I will. Okay,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Health Essentials on KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tire Long.